All right. Hey, do you guys like banana nut muffins? Anybody? I thought there might be a few of you out there. Hey, could one of the leaders turn the lights real quick? Well, I'm going to ask one of the leaders to come up here, Ben, wherever he is. Ben, give it up for Ben. Okay, now, you guys all know this young man as Ben, but we're going to call him by a different name today. Is that all right if we rename him today? We're going to call him Banana Nut Muffin, all right? So this is now not Ben, this is Banana Nut Muffin, okay? So if you call him Ben, nobody's going to answer because there is no Ben on the stage. He's only known as Banana Nut Muffin, okay? Now here's the thing, Banana Nut Muffin is kind of lonely right now, so I need 15 of his closest friends, all right? So here we go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Come on up here. Okay, now just like we renamed Ben, we're going to rename these guys too. I need you guys to just kind of line up back to the wall so everybody can see you. We're going to give you guys new names today as well. Okay, we'll start down here. What's your name?
Jacob.
No, it's not. It's Enriched Flower. That's your new name, okay? You're going to need to hold on to that. There you go. Okay, what's your name? No, it's not. It's Sugar. Okay, and your name?
Adam.
No, your name is not Adam, it's Eggs. And James, your name is, we'll call you Water, or H2O. And your name?
Isaiah.
No, you're Soybean Oil. There you go. And?
Matt.
Your name is not Matt, it's Food Starch. There you go. And?
Andrew.
No, you're Salt. And?
Jacob,
your banana puree.
Rebecca,
your walnuts?
Sarah,
you are calcium sulfate. Logan, you are lecithin. I have no idea what that means, but that's what you are. What's your name?
Calvary.
You are xanthan gum. There you go. Xanthan gum. And Deanna, you are mono and diglycerides. What's your name?
Aaron,
you are natural and artificial flavors. What's your name?
Christian,
you're potassium sorbate. Eric, you can take a seat. I ran out of ingredients. I'm sorry. Sorry. Give it up for Eric. He did a really good job standing up there. Okay, now here's the thing. Banana Nut Muffin did not begin all packaged and nice, okay? Because, yeah, well, Banana Nut Muffin did not begin just looking, you know, so nice like this. Banana Nut Muffin began as his 15 closest friends right here, all right? Now, I don't know if you guys knew that. I don't know if you guys thought maybe banana nut muffins grow on banana nut trees, or maybe if you thought like mommy and daddy banana nut muffin got together and had a baby banana nut muffin. That's not the way it worked, okay? Unfortunately, there's no banana nut muffin families or anything like that. But it basically boils down to this, all right? One day, a cook, I guess by the name of Otis Spunkmeyer, he decided he was going to get all of these ingredients and throw them in a big bowl. And if I had a big enough bowl to put you all in, I would this morning. Unfortunately, I don't. But he put you in a big bowl, and then they kind of had like a big ingredients mosh pit. And they'd mixed up and was like jumping on top of each other and beating each other up. And everything was all mixed up and crazy, okay? And then there came some heat. There was an oven involved somewhere at some point. There was some time, some waiting, you know, maybe a conveyor belt, some packaging. All of these things, eventually, out came Banana Nut Muffin right here, okay? So here's the deal. Here, you like those? There you go. You can have that. So here's the deal. Banana Nut Muffin had a lot of ingredients that went into making him who he is today. He didn't just start out this way. Now, you know, I mean, if we took away, the walnuts, you can go take a seat. Go take a seat. Give it up for walnuts. You can hold on to that, walnuts. If we took away the walnuts, we would just have banana muffin. And it might be good, but it wouldn't be the same, right? If we took away calcium sulfate, you can take a seat. This muffin would now be calcium sulfateless. So I don't know how that affects it, but it wouldn't be as good, I'm sure. Of course, if we did away with the lecithin, you can take a seat, then it would just be bad.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure lecithin makes it good. I don't know, but But look, I mean, he's falling apart. Now, if we took away the eggs and the sugar, you guys can take a seat. Then it would just be like, come on, put your head. No, I'm just kidding. He's going away. I mean, he's losing ingredients, and all of those things were important to make him who he is today, right? Okay, give a hand for all our ingredients. You guys can take a seat. And for Banana Nut Muffin. Don't call him Ben. Call him Banana Nut Muffin, all right? Or BNM for short. But here's the deal. Just like Banana Nut Muffin, we all have certain ingredients in our lives that have made us who we are today. Some of them good, some of them not so good. I don't know if you would just want to chew on xanthan gum or lecithin or enriched flour or drink soybean oil. All of those on their own may not be that great, but then you got stuff like sugar and eggs and milk that, you know, oftentimes we eat just on their own. And so some are good, some are bad, but they all, when put together, made Banana Nut Muffin what he is today, right? They all had an impact. And it's interesting to kind of look back, actually, and think where it came from. Like, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I'm eating a steak. I don't know if you guys have ever done this. Eating a steak, and I think, this used to be in a field mooing. You know, have you guys ever thought about that? And you're like, no, now some of you guys are going to think about that and be like totally grossed out. Like, oh, it's so gross, you know? Or maybe you're drinking a glass of milk. Have you ever thought that used to be inside something mooing in a field? That's reality, right? All warm and frothy and yummy, right? But that's where it began. And there's a lot of things that go into those products that make them different, make them what we have. And in Genesis 47 and 48, if you're not turned there already, go ahead and turn there. We're gonna do just that. We're gonna look back and we're gonna see some of the ingredients in our lives that have made us who we are today. But we're also going to do this with Jacob, because that's who we're going to read about in Genesis 47 and 48 as we continue our study, because he's also going to look back. But we're also going to have a chance to look to the future, because it's not enough to just look to the past. We need to also look ahead to the future. Even though the future isn't always clear, though, God has it under control. God's always in control of it. In fact, some of you, maybe this morning, if you think ahead to your future, kind of have some unclear future ahead of you, you know? You don't exactly know where you're headed. Maybe your family isn't doing too great. Maybe you had a fight with a friend recently. Maybe you just don't have enough money. Whatever it is, your future doesn't seem very clear. Some of you, if you were to die today, you don't know for sure if you would go to heaven or to hell. You know, and that means your future isn't very clear. And today you'll have a chance to think through those things and hopefully brighten up your future a little bit, because God has a better life than that. You don't have to live doubting, wondering, oh man, I don't know if I were to die today if I would go to heaven or hell. I know if I got hit by a car today, that would be a bummer, but I'd see Jesus right away. I know. And you guys can have that same hope. Jacob has this hope. He's looked back on God's faithfulness, and he can also look forward to God's faithfulness and see how God is going to continue to be faithful. At this point where we're about to read, he is really old. To be specific, he's 147 years old. Can you imagine? That's really old, like eyeballs falling out old, you know? I mean, that's really old. But this guy's old, he's about to die, and he's going to do what we're going to do today, and that's look back and then look to the future. Let's start reading in Genesis 47, starting in verse 28. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years, so the length of Jacob's life was 147 years. When the time drew near that Israel, also known as Jacob, same guy, must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, "Now, if I have found favor in your sight, please put your hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me." This is a way they made promises and oaths in the Bible. "Please do not bury me in Egypt, but let me lie with my fathers. You shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place. And he said, I will do as you have said. Then he said, swear to me. And he swore to him. So Israel bowed himself on the head of the bed. So this guy's old. He's in bed. He can't even get out of bed. He's so sick. And he's coming very close to the end of his life. Let's keep reading chapter 48, verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, indeed your father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob was told, look, your son Joseph is coming to you. And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on the bed. Then Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make of you a multitude of people and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. So the first thing today is to look back. That's where Jacob starts. He's been through a lot, long, interesting, adventurous life, and it's coming to an end. And just like banana nut muffin, there's been a lot of ingredients in Jacob's life that have made him who he is today. He's come a long way. He's gone through a lot of things. And, you know, we can just kind of think back on some of those. You may remember the first time we read about Jacob, he was still unborn at the time. He's a twin, and his brother's name is Esau. And we read, the first time we read about him, they were still in their mother's womb, and they were fighting. Do you remember that? And their mom was kind of freaking out, like, what is going on down there? She cried out to the Lord. God said, there are two nations in your womb. They're already fighting. They will continue to fight. Even from the first time we read about this guy, he had a hard life. Eventually, he was born. He began to grow. He became very deceitful. He deceived his older brother Esau out of his birthright, out of his blessing. Eventually had to run away from home because his older brother Esau wanted to kill him. He found a girl he wanted to marry. He had problems getting married. He finally got married. He had problems with his father-in-law. Eventually left there. His sons began making bad choices, killed some people. Eventually they sold Joseph into slavery, into Egypt. Eventually famine hit the world and Jacob and his family almost died. I mean, this guy has gone through a lot of stuff. And just like Jacob, we all have certain ingredients in our lives that make us who we are today. Some of it's bad. Some of it's something you've been through, your family just falling apart. Maybe you've gone through divorce, or you live at one house on one weekend and another house at the next weekend, and it's hard, you know? Maybe you've gone through a tragedy where a family member or a friend has died. Maybe it's a disease that you or someone you know has. There's some bad stuff. There's also some great stuff. Maybe you've grown up in a great family. Your family's very supportive. They love you. They bring you to church. Maybe Velocity is a big part of who you are today. Or a small group like Momentum, where you've been discipled and you've grown. Maybe that's a big part of it. Maybe you've developed some good habits of reading your Bible or prayer. And those things are a big part of who you are today. All of those good and bad things that we deal with in life mix together to make you an individual, make you unique, who you are. And just like that muffin, we all have different ingredients to write down. In fact, we'll do that later on today in just a few minutes. We'll take a chance to look back and think about some of those things. But in verses 3-4, Jacob thinks back about a promise that God gave him. This promise he gave to him a long time ago at this point, anywhere from 50 to 100 years ago. God gave him this promise, and look at him, 147 years old, and he's still clinging to that promise. He still believes God's going to fulfill it. Let's keep reading in verse 5. And this again is Jacob speaking. And now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Your offspring whom you beget after them shall be yours. They will be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. But as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died beside me in the land of Canaan on the way, when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath. And I buried her there on the way to Ephrath, that is, Bethlehem. Then Israel saw Joseph's sons and said, Who are these? Now, keep in mind, this guy's so old, his eyesight is failing, and he sees Joseph and two guys walk into the room. He can't tell who it is. So he asks Joseph, who are these guys? It's Joseph's sons. It's Jacob's grandsons. Verse 9, then Joseph said to his father, they are my sons, whom God has given me in this place. And he said, bring them to me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so that he could not see. Then Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact, God has also shown me your offspring. So Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. So Israel takes some time at the end of his life to think back about some of the things he's gone through. He remembers a promise that God has given him. He remembers, we read in verse 7, about his wife Rachel dying, giving birth to their last son, Benjamin. She died, and that was a hard thing he went through. He remembers a great thing in verse 11. He says, you know, I didn't even think I was going to get to see you again. Not only do I get to see you, but I get to see your sons, my grandsons. That's incredible. Look what God has done. So Jacob looks back, and that's a great thing for us to do. However, if we keep staring backwards, we're not going to get anywhere, you know? I mean, imagine if your parents were driving you to church today, and your mom's driving, and she's just staring in the rearview mirror. You get a little freaked out, like, hey, Mom, pay attention, you know? What are you doing? She's going to end up driving off a cliff, like ramping off the freeway, you know? Something, it's not going to turn out good. She needs to stay focused ahead. We can't just get caught up looking behind us. And so it can be good to look backwards, but just like Paul says in Philippians 3:13, he says he forgets those things, those sinful, hard things he's been through in the past, and he says, I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So let's do that. Let's look to the future. We looked back, now let's look to the future. Let's keep reading Genesis 48, verse 13. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. Now, here's what's going on. We're going to read a lot about left hand, right hand, on the left side, on the right side. It's going to sound like Jacob's doing the hokey pokey or something, okay? That's not exactly what's going down. Remember, Jacob's 147 years old. You probably don't want to see him do the hokey pokey, you know? I don't know, maybe you do want to see him do the hokey pokey. I don't know, it could be very entertaining. But anyways, verse 14, we'll kind of take this apart, I'll explain it to you, but we'll keep reading here. Verse 14, then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be named upon them and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude into the midst of the earth. Now when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. So we're looking to the future here. Now the challenge about looking to the future is that oftentimes it's kind of unclear. We don't exactly know what's going to happen. But God does. And I think Jacob must have had plenty of time being old, in bed, sick, to spend time with the Lord. He wasn't distracted by the internet or PlayStation or his TV or something like that. You guys know how it is. When you stay home from school, you end up wasting your lives watching stupid TV, you know? Like, oh, I'll watch the 30th episode of Judge Judy again, right? Or Home Shopping Network, and you're like buying curtains or something, you know? Something stupid, you're just wasting your life laying there in bed. Like I've found myself doing before. But Jacob, I think this guy must have spent some time with the Lord. The reason I say that is because he's about to reveal a lot about his family's future. Stuff that Jacob should not know. But God has obviously revealed these things to him. So Joseph brings his sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, to see their grandfather right before he's about to die. Now keep in mind, Manasseh was the oldest, Ephraim was the youngest. Where's all the eighth graders in the room? Okay, you guys represent Manasseh, all right? You're the oldest, and you guys deserve the most, okay? When the dad dies, it's time for you guys to get like the double hookup. You guys get the most, all right? You guys are awesome. So Manasseh, you are due that, and Joseph knows that. Now Ephraim, where's all the sixth graders at? Sixth graders, you represent Ephraim. You're the youngest. You still get an inheritance from your father, but you get half as much as your older brother Manasseh. Okay, that's what you're entitled to. So Joseph knows that. He guides them to Jacob. He puts Ephraim, the youngest, on Jacob's left. Okay, and he puts Manasseh, the oldest, on the right. Now that's significant because in the Bible, the right hand had a symbol of power. You know, good example. Hebrews chapter 1 says Jesus ascended into heaven and took a seat at the right hand of God. In other words, he's in the place of power. You often read about the right hand. In fact, you could look that up sometimes. See how many times the Bible talks about somebody who's in the right hand. That means they're in a place of power, symbolically. So Joseph brings them. He knows Manasseh's the oldest. He should be on the right to be blessed symbolically with more power and more inheritance. So he brings Manasseh, the oldest, to the right, Ephraim, the youngest, to the left. Well, that's what Joseph figures is the right thing to do, but Jacob knows otherwise. He knows that God has chosen Ephraim, the youngest, over Manasseh, the oldest. So the sixth graders, symbolically here today, God chose you over the eighth graders, all right? Now, that doesn't mean you're anything cool, and you could like, oh, check me out, eighth graders, because you'll probably get punched, right? So don't do that. But here's the thing. God has chosen Ephraim, the youngest, over Manasseh. So it's interesting what happens. Jacob's laying there in bed, and Manasseh comes up on the right, the hand of power. Ephraim comes up on the left. But he knows that they really, in reality, should be switched. So instead of switching the boys, he switches his arms and he goes like this. Instead of reaching out just with his hands like this, he crosses his hands, okay? And he starts to pray. Now Joseph is watching this and he's like, what is he doing? He's putting the right hand on the youngest son and the left hand on the oldest son. So halfway through the prayer, Joseph tries to correct him. Like, hey, dad, pay attention here. You're old and crazy, you know? And I think he respected him a little more than that. But he tries to switch his hands and correct him. Jacob says, no, I know what I'm doing. God has chosen the youngest over the oldest. Look in verse 19. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also, speaking of Manasseh, the oldest, shall become a people. He also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he. And his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. So he blessed them that day, saying, by you Israel will bless, saying, may God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph, behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and will bring you back to the land of your fathers. So Jacob prophesies about the future of his grandsons' lives. It's a big deal. He must have spent some time with the Lord. And here we are, we're looking ahead to the future. Now, I'm not asking you guys to prophesy today, all right? You're like, oh, man, I thought I was going to have to make some prophecies here. I should have eaten like my bowl of prophecy flakes or something, right? That's not why I brought you guys here. You're not here to prophesy. You're not here to bless the person on the right more than the person on the left or anything like that, okay? But we are going to take a chance, take a few minutes here in just a moment to look ahead to the future. I want you guys to think about your life, the decisions, the things that you're doing right now that you're into. Where are they leading you? What's ahead in your future? Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? What kind of future promises do you have to look forward to? Right now, the leaders are going to get up and they're going to pass out a yellow sheet of paper to everybody and a pencil or a pen if you don't have one. And you guys are going to have a chance. Everybody is going to take 5 minutes and fill out these little questions. There's three of them. We'll go over these here in just a moment. But basically, what's going to happen here is you guys are going to have a chance to look back, think about the things that you guys have gone through, the ingredients in your life that make you who you are today, but also to look forward and think about what is ahead in your future. Where are you going with your life? Is it leading somewhere good? That's what I want you guys to think about. And then also you'll have a chance to think about the promises that you can trust God for that'll keep you going when it's hard. Anybody still need a yellow piece of paper? On this side? Okay. Well, they're coming around. And we'll get some pens or pencils to you here in just a moment. Okay, who still needs a pencil, something to write with? Okay. They're coming. They're coming. In the back, too. All right. As we're passing those out, anybody still need a piece of paper? Still a couple right here, pieces of paper. All right. So as we're passing those out, still need pencils? Anybody? Okay. Let's go ahead and take a look over these things. First question, when you look back, what are the ingredients in your life, good and bad, that make you who you are today? Each of these answers is going to be unique to you, okay? Everybody in this room has gone through different things, and you're going to have a list of good and bad things that you can write on here that make you who you are today. The second question is, when you look to the future, what is unclear about it? What don't you know about the future? And the third question is, what future promises can you trust in that will keep you going when the future is unclear? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to put a 5-minute countdown up on the screen. You guys have 5 minutes. Take some time. Think about this. This is just for you, not you and a friend or anybody like that. If you need to spread out, feel free to do that. You can sit on the floor or whatever if you need to just get away and think for a couple minutes. You have 5 minutes. Let's fill these out, and then we'll get all back together. Hopefully you guys were able to fill these things out. And let's just take a couple minutes and kind of discuss a little bit some of the things that you guys came up with. I'll start us out. With this first question, when you look back, what are the ingredients in your life, good and bad, that make you who you are today? I've shared with you guys before that my parents were divorced a few years back, and that was, I would say, a bad ingredient in my life, one thing that was very hard for me to go through, but it helped develop me into who I am today. I made some mistakes along the way, but that was definitely, I'd say, one ingredient that I've, you know, that was hard to go through, but that I've learned a lot through. What about you guys? Good and bad ingredients in your life. What are some things that you guys wrote down? Okay. So a good thing is that you accepted the Lord. That's great. Bad thing is, or one thing you've gone through is that some of your family isn't saved. Okay. What else? Okay. Okay. Good. So you learned some hard lessons through some other family members. What else? Awesome. Yeah, I'm sure. So your parents are still together, but then your mom also dealt with some alcoholism. Okay. Definitely. Okay. That's got to be hard, yeah. Okay. So some mistakes and some things, some bad decisions you made. Okay. So all of those things that we go through are ingredients that help to make up who we are today. But it's not enough to just look at the past. Because as many great things as we've gone through, we can also kind of get overwhelmed with the bad things that we've gone through if we stay living in the past. Thankfully, God has a future for us. So that's what leads us to this next question. When you look to the future, what is unclear about it? What are some questions that you still have about the future? Okay, so maybe a family member or a friend that you don't know if they're saved or not. Okay. Yeah, your job, right? It's kind of up in the air. Okay, college, schooling after you're done in middle school and high school. What else? What are some other unclear things about the future? Okay, family member. Okay, so maybe some issues that are coming up with your family. Okay, friends. Yeah, okay. So maybe you even question about where, not even necessarily you, your family member or a friend, but where you personally would go if you were to die. Remember I was telling you guys, today you guys can have a hope and a peace in the fact that you guys know where you're headed. If you need to make that decision today, I'd love to talk with you about that. So sometimes the future's a little unclear, but do you guys believe that God's in control of the future? Because He is. Whether you believe it or not is beside the point, but I hope you believe it because, man, it provides so much peace when you don't exactly know what the future holds. So that leads us to our last question. What future promises can you trust in that will keep you going when the future is unclear? What are some things you can trust about God to keep you going? Yeah, isn't that great? So if we confess our sins, the Bible tells us it's a promise. If we confess, God will forgive. What a great promise. Okay, cool. God will always provide for us and guide us. Awesome. So if you follow God's plan for your life, that's the best possible way to live. Very good. What other kind of promises can you cling to? Maybe even Bible verses you guys can think of. I know one for me, Romans 8:18 talks about the fact that the suffering that we go through here on earth isn't even worthy to be compared with how amazing our life is going to be after earth, you know, in heaven. God has such an incredible eternity planned for those of us who commit our lives to Him. Any other promises you guys can think of that you can cling to, that you can trust in? Yeah. You what? Okay, so trusting that God's in control even of your family members or your friends. Anything else you guys can think of? Cool. Yeah. Isn't that good to know that God always loves you? Romans 8:38 and 39 says that nothing can ever separate us from His love. Nothing can. God always loves us. So good to know that. So here's the thing. It's great to look to the back, look to the past, and remember where you've come from and what you've gone through, what makes you who you are today. But it's also important to look to the future. Trust that God's in control. Trust that He has a plan for you and He wants to make you into a great person. And if you guys will trust that and follow that, God will honor His promises. So maybe some of you guys here today even, you don't know for sure what your future holds. In fact, maybe if I asked you if you were to die today, you couldn't even tell me for sure if you're going to heaven or not. If that's the case, you need to decide today where you want to spend eternity, because it could be too late if you wait. If you need to make that decision today, come find a leader up here after the service. We would love to pray with you. It's as simple as confessing your sin and believing that Jesus has paid the price for you. So it's as simple as that. Let's close with prayer. God, we just thank You that You love us, and that love is never going to die. And what an incredible promise we have from You. Lord, we love the fact that as hard as life is sometimes and we suffer different things for being a Christian, we know that none of that is even worthy to be compared with how amazing life in heaven is going to be. We look forward to that day. Jesus, we just ask that You would come quickly, that You would help us to stand up today, tomorrow, this week, in our schools, at our homes. Help us to be bright lights for You everywhere we go. In Your name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for coming.